Blog Talk Radio.
Difficulties, but I am so excited that I'm on here today, and I know with the blessings of our Father, we are going to continue this dialogue today, because it's a very important dialogue. I have a returning guest to my show, and she's been hanging out in the virtual green room with me for a little bit, and I'm going to bring her on live in a moment. And for those of you who might be in the chat room, I will be there momentarily. I was trying to get the small one going, and it wasn't going, so I signed into the large one, and it doesn't bring it up at the same time in the studio. So we are just going to pray for God's blessing on this broadcast today, because he knows that the people need to hear what is about to be said. Today's segment is being sponsored by Dr. Deanna Murphy, and she's our honored guest. I'm going to bring her on. I want for you to stay tuned, because you're going to be getting some goodies today. Not only the information, but you are going to be getting something else. So we want you to stay tuned, and we don't want to miss any tweet, Facebook, all your followers join in here to this broadcast today. I must show gratitude as always, because I tell you, I'm getting a lot of new followers and new listeners. And because I am so thankful, because it has been deep.
Yes, I was on live and I think I got disconnected. I am trying to get my guest on live because she's on. I don't know. Dr. Deanna, can you hear me? I don't think she's hearing me, so I am going to go ahead and play this clip and then try to call back in and see what happens.
If you're a woman of faith, you've got to attend Designing Your Personal Awesome Future with Dr. Deanna Murphy on April 6th at the Hilton Garden Inn in Fort Washington, PA. If you're ready to renovate, redesign, and renew your soul, join Dr. Deanna, America's expert on life design, as she helps you to let go of your past, identify solutions for fear of failure, experience inner healing, and much more. Register now at myawesomefuture.eventbrite.com.
Okay, so that was the commercial for Dr. Deanna Bent, and I know she is online, and if she can hear, I want her to maybe hang up and call back in, because this, I don't know, it's not allowing me to call in again. So I think she probably heard me because she hung up. And when she calls back in, I will be sure to get her live. So we are just waiting to see her call back in. And, you know, Lord, we just ask that you touch this thing. Dr. Deanna.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so we are on two different places. You know the devil is a liar.
Yes, I was hearing you before. I could hear everything, but you could not hear me.
I could not hear you. So now I'm on my phone and you're on the switchboard, and we're going to leave it that way. I am just so thankful. I had said that this segment was sponsored by you, and we played your clip. You heard your clip played?
Yes, it was beautiful. Thank you.
Wonderful. And we are sure going to play that again. Yeah, Dr. Deanna, this is not your first time here on the show. And I think my listeners know that I only bring guests and experts on that can add value. And you are certainly doing that in the many lives of women across the world. Not only in Pennsylvania where you are, not only in New Jersey, not only in New York, but globally. So I honor you for that work that you are doing.
Thank you so much.
Would you please go right into this live event that you have set up to change the lives of women?
Absolutely, Dr. Daphne. And thank you so much for the opportunity to share this. I am so excited. I just cannot contain myself. The registrations are coming in like clockwork, and women understand that there is more that they have inside of them they want to expound on. They want to get out, and they just feel stuck, and they don't know how to do it. They are questioning their direction. They want a wholesome and holistic lifestyle and work so they can identify their purposes, reflect their values, but they just don't know how to get there. And I can so identify with that, because years ago I was in corporate America, and I felt that I was in a bottle. You know, you answer to your superiors, you do what is before you, but you knew that there was a footprint in this world that you want to make. You want to make your mark in the world, and you knew that you could not do it with a 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, in the walls of the church, same thing. You're in the ministry, you're working with the pastors, and you're serving God, but you have so much more inside of you that is sitting there in the pew, and no one is discipling you to help you to expand that and move forward. So with those two scenarios and those two experiences that I've gone through, what I do is help women in corporate and women of faith to secure their futures. I help them to design their interior life, first of all, because we have to get away from all that clutter and all of those issues that's holding you back, those triggers, those self-limiting triggers that are putting barriers before you, so you can focus forward and become self-empowered, have that inner healing, first of all, so you can move out and do what God has called you to do. I am a really true advocate of marketplace ministry, and when I say that, I'm talking about taking your gifts and talents that was given to you by God and using them to help humanity. And that's what I do, and I want to help women to do the same thing.
You know, Dr. Deanna, I am really excited that you're bold enough to touch the topic of the church, and especially women, where we stand or where we sit, which is normally in the pew. Because it's not every place of worship thinks that or sees us as worthy to move to the podium or to the platform.
Exactly.
Why do you think, and this is basically just our insight on all of this. But based on your experience over the years, why do you think that the male leaders, spiritual leaders, and I'm saying male spiritual leaders, why are majority of them threatened by our female leadership? Because unless their associate pastor is their wife, they don't see any other female in the pew that is worthy of standing at that podium. Why do you think they are so threatened?
The only word that can come to me at this moment, Dr. Daphne, is insecurity. They just don't know who they are. If you are insecure in who you are, it doesn't matter. Now, in the church that I'm in, and the former church that I'm in a new church now, but I was in another church for 11 years, and it's where I was really getting that itch and was very uncomfortable, even though I was ordained in that church. But my gifts were being smothered, and I wasn't validated. I wasn't being acknowledged. But I saw in that particular environment that they were hand selected. There were certain people hand selected, and to me, it was based on status. I have to go there. It was based on status. And I said, well, my bank account is not that big, so maybe I don't qualify. You know, I mean, that's how I had to surmise it. I'm sorry. You know,
you don't have to apologize.
But that's what I saw. That's what I experienced. And, you know, I'm an author. I'm an award-winning international author. And when the pastor knows this and has been presented this information and they ignore it, my doctorate degree, and they were notified of this from the school, and they ignored it. Then I said something is really wrong here. Something is totally wrong. So you know, you still love them, but I do believe that it's a matter of just being insecure in themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. You got to love them and bless them and move on. Like, you know something, you don't need to apologize because God already sees it and knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all around. It's not only in the U.S. It's not only in Connecticut. It's not only in PA. It's all over the country.
Yes.
It's all over the world. And I tell the sisters, so long as you do the work in you, and you know God has called you to be bold in serving him, don't you sit there and settle for mediocrity, because that's not what God calls you to do. Know that you're probably at a particular place for a season. And when the season has wilted or dried up or ended, be bold to move on. Because you are never going to be able to shine if there is a shelter over your bushel. You are not. You know, I used to sing as a child in Jamaica. We used to sing a song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." And this is what we have to always remember as women, that God gives us a bright light. And we cannot allow anybody to smother it. So we must step out and be bold, because God really has our back.
Yes.
He has our backs. He calls us to stand up and just shout. Whatever he gives us to shout, shout it proudly and step out. You know, there's another female friend I have who is a minister, and she went through the same thing where she was. That so much so that when she was finished with her training and to be ordained, her spiritual leader would not ordain her. She had to go to another town at somebody to ordain her. And it had to do with insecurity.
Yes, yes.
You know, but they have to know that God is the one that is in charge of all of us, and each of us have a different message. It doesn't matter whether we're standing on the same platform. We are going to be connecting with different people. So, Dr. Deanna, I just honor you for for what you're doing and for your willingness to encourage us and to let us know that it is okay to step out and do that which we are called to do. Please,
will
you walk us through what's going to happen at this powerful event?
You know, I'm just so on fire right now because I know that I've touched on something that women need, and women have been sitting in on the sidelines and being silent for so long. And now that I have exposed this, now I'm hearing, oh, this is exactly what I'm going through. I guess they felt that they were supposed to be the quiet mouth in the church or sit aside. And I'm not only speaking about church women, because it's in corporation circles. I was the same way when I worked in corporate America, the very same thing. And I think because women, they have so much self-doubt that they don't think they are good enough. They don't feel that they're intelligent enough, or if they are promoted even in corporate America, they don't feel, well, gee, they must just like me. I know I wasn't promoted because of my intelligence, or that because I went through that. I used to say, gee, I must have fooled them again. And in my research, Dr. Daphne, you know, I discovered that is I wouldn't say a sickness, but there is something they call
a stigma.
A stigma. It's called it's called it'll come to me, but it's like a imposter syndrome. That's what they call it.
The phobia they have around women, you know.
Yeah, an imposter syndrome, and they feel that they are fraud. You know, they don't deserve the positions they have. They feel that the man is more powerful than they are. And in a husband and wife situation, I call it the identity crisis. You lost your identity because you have a powerful figure before you. Maybe your husband is in sports. Maybe he's a high-powered man in his industry, and you maybe be the housewife, and you feel that you are being blinded by him. You know, literally, you are being blinded by him, but you are like in a shadow because he's in that, he's in this. No, you're not. You know, this is what I want women to understand. You are not. You are bright. You are capable. We have to be in this event. We're going to talk about step-by-step processes for you to empower yourself. I don't believe that I can empower anyone. I hear a lot of people saying, well, I'm going to empower you. I empower women.
No. It's an inside job.
It's an inside job. Yes.
Empowerment and motivation is an inside job.
Yes.
We can only inspire you to ignite. It's like lighting the grill. Unless you have that igniter that it comes with, you're going to need a match. Or else when you turn that gas on or you put the charcoal, whatever kind you're using, you're not going to get any flame. You know, this conversation is so on time because, as you know, Dr. Deanna, I'm not sure if you know, but I am the president for the Litchfield chapter of the National Association of Professional Women. And this past Tuesday night, we had our meeting, and one of the members was sharing the same thing. She works for a corporation that is global, and she is the only female, and she's been in that position since she was in her early 20s. And she relived her first day at a staff meeting, then she was worked out at their location in L.A. And she relived that day when she walked in there in her skirt as a girl and all of that, and she said, when she looked at all the men around the table, they were like her father. And they were looking at her as that little girl. And she said, you know what, ladies? That second, I made up my mind that I'm going to have to do things different here because I apply for this position because I love it. I love what the company is doing globally. And I'm only going to leave here if I want to leave here. And she has built her mark. Now she's in her 40s. She has built her mark and make a name for herself in that organization. And she says, no, they don't see me like the little girl anymore. They see me like their colleague.
Yes, yes. And that's what it actually takes. And it first begins with believing in who you are. You have to know who you are. I've coined that phrase, remembering who you are, because we know who we are, but we forget.
We forget. Out of fear.
Exactly.
And a feeling of inferiority.
Yes.
We just forget, and we think that, oh, we are only mothers and wives and caregivers. Yes, we are all of those things and much, much more.
Absolutely.
So this is why I am excited about the work I do and what you do, Dr. Deanna, and a lot of other wonderful women who are assisting ladies in finding and using and connecting with their voice.
Yes.
And when you say find, it's not that it was lost because you have it buried, but we want to tell you, hold it, hug it, you know, embrace it, cuddle it, and begin to use it. And when you get an opportunity where you can network or connect with another sister, regardless of her culture or her ethnicity, embrace it. Because when we get together, we're not thinking about colors. We're not thinking about race. We are just thinking about how can we help you to ignite that mastery that lies dormant inside of you.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. It's time. It's time for women. I feel that, and I've been voicing this over social media, that there has been a shift in the atmosphere. And then I've been hearing Joel Osteen talk about this shift as well. And it's the shift is, and I always tell women as well, you know, God expects a return on his investment in you. Because he put something inside of you. He planned your purpose and your future before the foundations of the world. So therefore, then, when that means he knew what he wanted to carry out 2,000 or 3,000 years later, and he chose you to help him do that. So you have a responsibility to cue in on what that is he has you to do, and ignore everything else around you. But they need help. They need help to overcome self-doubt. They need help to banish the thought patterns that actually undermines their abilities to feel and to act and to move forward into what they are called to do. And this can be in a corporate environment, a church environment, wherever it is, you know. But women have to understand that it's time now to take a stand and step out and not put other people first, because some women, they are so busy. We are nurturers, obviously, naturally. We are natural nurturers, so we always put others first. We take care of our husbands. We take care of our children. You know, we're working in corporate America. We're taking care of our bosses and so forth and so on. But I always give my clients this example. I said, when you're taking a flight, what is it when they're going over the safety measures on that flight, what does the hostess tell you to do first? Take your oxygen mask and put it on yourself first and then assist someone else. And it's the same thing with life. You have to develop yourself. You have to remove those self-limiting triggers so you can thrust yourself forward so then you can go out into the world and help someone else. And this is what we're going to be sharing at the event, Designing Your Personal Awesome Future, on April 6th at the Hilton Garden Inn in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Be there or be square, as the saying, the cliche goes. But I'm so excited to have, and for me to step out and do this event was another step for me, Dr. Daphne, because actually, in January, when I had my plans for the year or the first quarter of 2013, I knew I was going to be going into some different areas. I knew I was expanding my horizon. But I did not have this on my calendar. I did not have this in my mind, this event. This event just birthed inside of me during a 40-day fast. And I said, at the time, the scripture came to me was, put your hand to the plow. So I'm thinking that's the name of the event. I said, that's not the name of the event. People are not going to know what I'm talking about. But that's what I got, put your hand to the plow. And from that, sometime in January is when this event was actually birthed. So I'm planning this event and moving forward with it in a very short period of time, and everything is falling right into place.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Are there other speakers who will be sharing the platform with you, or you are the sole speaker at this event?
Well, mainly I am going to be doing most of the workshops. I'm teaching three modules and a bonus module. But I also have booked attorney Georgette Miller. She's a powerful, powerful woman here in the Philadelphia area. If anyone is in the Pennsylvania area, they would hear her on 103.9. They hear her in New York. She has offices in New York, New Jersey, Delaware, and Pennsylvania. And she is going to be sharing how to stay out of debt, not only how to get out of debt, but how to stay out of debt. And she's going to be sharing four legs of a stool, as she called them, to your personal growth in finances. I will also be having an etiquette professional to come in to teach us those social skills that we need to know to go forward into the marketplace with our gifts and talents. And thirdly, I will also have a fitness expert to help us get up off of our blessed assurance and understand that we are going to have to take care of our bodies. Oh, and I forgot something else. I have a medical doctor who's driving in from New York City, Dr. Diane Thomas. She's going to talk about symptoms that we need to be aware of that's going on in our bodies so we can be fit for the business that God has for us to do. So it's going to be a power pack day from 9 to 5. Be there or be square. People, you have to come.
Wonderful, wonderful. And is there anything else you need to tell the people that I haven't asked you? And how can they register to be there and all of that good stuff?
Well, for your listeners only, this is what I've decided to do. The registration to come to this all-day event, it also includes everything I talked about, and a hot lunch, buffet lunch we're serving from 9 to 5 is $147, only $147, because I want it to be accessible to everyone. But they can also register themselves for $147 and bring a friend for $77.
What?
And I will extend, yes, $77.
Ah.
You can bring a friend. And that offer is for your listeners only, Dr. Daphne, until midnight tonight. I've already arranged.
That is on there. Midnight tonight, the 28th of February. You got to run. Tell them where to go, Dr. Deanna.
Okay, they can go to... I can send them to. They can go to my website, DeannaMurphyGlobal.com, and click on the link, Designing Your Personal Awesome Future, and they can read about everything on that page. Deanna, D-E-A-N-A, one N, D-E-A-N-A, Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y, Global, GLOBAL.com. Click on the link that says Designing Your Personal Awesome Future. You will go to the page and see all the information there about the event, and then click on registration. It will take you to another page, and you will click on the very first link that says Early Bird Special, and you can register yourself for $147 and bring a guest for $77. And let me explain to them how this works. Once you register yourself for $147, you would then get a separate email from my office with an invoice for $77 for your guest.
Beautiful.
Because that's the only way we could do it with the system that we're using.
Beautiful, beautiful. Girls, it doesn't get any better than that, because we know as women, everywhere we go, we want to have a sidekick, you know?
Yes.
And when we hear about a sale, when we hear about shoes on sale or Macy's or any other of those places having sale, we call our girlfriend up. Well, this is a redesigning your life sale.
Much needed, yes.
So it is needed.
Absolutely.
It is needed. So we want you to make sure that you grab all the opportunity to be there.
Yes, be there.
You need to tell us?
Well, the last thing I would share about this event, because it's such a powerful event, when you go to these events, there's always people talking to you, you're taking notes, and, you know, they have entertainment, et cetera. But the difference my event is going to be, Dr. Daphne, you're not going to only learn the strategies, but we're going to demonstrate them and experience them right there. we're going to go through the process of I believe on hands-on demonstration. So when they walk out of there, they know exactly what to do. You know, they don't have to say, oh, this was a great event, wah, wah, wah. But implementation is what takes you to the next level. So we're going to groom you with the tools, show you exactly how it's done. Some women will be selected from the audience to come up, be unannounced, and we're going to work on what's going on with you. Everyone is going to, I'm going to be very transparent and tell you my story. So we're only women there. We're going to, no hidden barriers or anything. We're just going to be open because we are there to be healed. We are there be able to move forward with our life. We have work to do in this world. You know, the economy, the economists talk about how bad this economy is, but it's going to take women to get this economy turned around.
Yeah,
because we are the ones that are steadfast and moving forward. So we are the ones that have the guts to actually step out and do what it takes. Because men, you know, well, we won't talk about men. We love you, men. We love all of you, men.
Brothers,
we love you, brothers.
they got it together. They support each other.
Yes.
What's up, man? You want to have a drink or something? You want to talk about the ball game? They got it together. They spend time together.
Yes.
But we sisters, we got a lot to do. We haven't even begun to scratch the surface of that onion.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of peeling back to do because there is so much under those layers that we are living with. And because of that, we cannot communicate nor associate, neither collaborate with another woman who has know how to get us to where we need to be.
Absolutely.
So we got to wake up. They say, wake up and smell the coffee. I'm telling you, ladies, we got to wake up and smell the roses. And whatever it is that we are going through, don't be bogged down with pride, envy, jealousy, hurt, and inferiority that would prevent you from getting to that great height that God has created you to be.
Yeah, they absolutely they have to. This morning I was so surprised. I have someone registered coming in from Wisconsin. From Wisconsin, I have some a lady coming in from Detroit, Michigan. She's bringing her daughter. I have a lady driving, as I said, coming in from New York City, Hampton, Virginia. New Jersey is bringing 10. One lady is bringing 10 women with her from New Jersey. So it doesn't matter where you are in the country. Don't, you know, get on the plane. It's an investment in your future. I tell people all the time, if you don't invest in yourself, then who else will invest in you?
Exactly, and that's what we look around for. You know, women are always looking around for somebody else to hand them something. You know, we give everything else to everybody, and when it comes to ourselves, we neglect who we are. Well, the time has come when Dr. Deanna Murphy and myself, we are giving you permission to look after yourself first.
Yes.
And it's not a selfish statement. It is a self-assured statement that when you give to yourself first, you are only going to be able to abundantly bless others, whether it's in your family, it's in your community, wherever. But until you begin to give yourself first, you are not going to be in a position to help anybody else. So I want to play your clip one more time and then just ask you to, because I know you just wanted to be on for the first segment. I'm going to play your clip and then ask you to summarize and again give them the website and the date of the event. And for those who are coming out of town, which we are praying will be a lot, tell them what hotels are close by or if you have a special group rate at a hotel for them or anything like that. So let's hear from our sponsor.
If you're a woman of faith, you've got to attend Designing Your Personal Awesome Future with Dr. Deanna Murphy on April 6th at the Hilton Garden Inn in Fort Washington, PA. If you're ready to renovate, redesign, and renew your soul, join Dr. Deanna, America's expert on life design, as she helps you to let go of your past, identify solutions for fear of failure, experience inner healing, and much more. Register now at myawesomefuture.eventbrite.com.
All right. So I'm looking forward to the event. I'm trying to put some things, shift some things around so I too can be there to enjoy and learn and to rub shoulders with these women who are doing such amazing work. So, Dr. Deanna, you can take a few minutes to wrap up and summarize and tell us what you want to leave us with.
Sure. I just want to say that there are four pillars that you will be learning at this event. That is spiritual design, which is programming. We have to reprogram ourselves. The human beings are the only species on this earth that can be reprogrammed. The second one will be leadership design, which is preparing. We will prepare you with the powerful steps for unwrapping the surface areas of your hurts, your negative emotions, and exposing them and bringing understanding to what they are. Because, you know, sometimes we want to run away from that F word, the fear. But you know something? God gave us fear for a purpose, for protection. So we have to embrace it and understand it and know when to use it. And the third module is we're going to be talking about you in emotional design, emotional intelligence. That's your processing. We're going to know how to process all of this information that you're going to receive. And then the fourth module is destiny design. We're going to fix you up and prepare you to with a blueprint and a strategy and an inner drive to reach your destiny. And that's your proceeding. That's the four P's: programming, processing, and proceeding. Now, at the Hilton Garden Inn, there are rooms already blocked off for this event. Their regular rate, I think, was something like $139 or $149, and they are giving me a rate of $109 for this event. Friday night, it's blocked for Saturday night, but I'm understanding some women want to come in on Friday night. So the sales manager there, her name is Shahira, and the phone number at the Hilton is 215-646-4637. If someone wants to come in on that Friday night, call her directly, and she will make sure that you would get that discounted rate for this event. Just mention Designing Your Personal Awesome Future. And, again, my website is DeannaMurphyGlobal.com. Deanna is one N, DeannaMurphy, Global, GLOBAL.com. Register tonight before midnight. I'm giving you a special just for the guests, listeners of this broadcast. $147 is the full rate to register, but you can bring a guest for $77. And if you know, and another thing you can do, I forgot about this, Dr. Daphne. I have another way they can, if you are bringing in five or more people coming in as a group, five or more people, each one can come in for a $25 discount.
Wow. Know. And you know what? You were talking, and I just work it out. Ladies, all you got to do is put your money together. It's $224 for both of you. If you pull it together, you know. So just step out there and make it happen. I'm looking forward to attending the event. I have to shuffle some things around, but I would love to be there. We believe in it so much that we are one of the sponsors for the event.
Yes.
And so we know that women, we need to get it together. We must get it together. And Dr. Deanna, don't be surprised when you see some men begin to register. You know, I have been going to some event that is marketed for women, and men are there. So I begin to call them honorary women because
yes.
They say, we are coming because we know that what you women are getting here is not gender specific. And
no, it's not.
We are going to be able to use it in our business. And I honor those men to be bold enough.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, at the top of the hour, we're speaking about insecurities and all of that. So I always get so tickled when I see men there who are honored to be part of that. So, again, I pray for your continued success in everything that you do, Dr. Deanna. And
thank
I'm
you.
Looking forward to be in attendance at that awesome, awesome event.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to meeting you. And men, yes, if you want to come, we're not going to turn you away.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you,
Dr.
Daphne.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Dr. Deanna Murphy speaking about the amazing, amazing event that she is doing in April. So make sure, I tell you, she said she give you until midnight tonight to register. You can register for $147 for yourself. The event is April 6th. And you can bring a friend for $47. That means if you pull your monies together, $224 is what will cover both you and your friend. And she gave the number for the hotel, 215-464-4637. But those people who want to, if you are coming in from out of town and you want to spend the weekend down there in PA, I haven't gone to Pennsylvania for many years. I'm really looking forward. I hope I can switch my things around so that I can be there too to be part of this amazing event. So we have the number to call is 646-915-8166. I got so caught up, I have not been going back to the chat room to see what's going on here. So, excuse me for not checking in with you guys and ladies over there. And I want to continue this conversation today about, Dr. Deanna spoke about how we're going to reinvent yourselves and redesign yourselves. And I am going to continue this conversation today with some key pointers that can help us to just begin to prepare ourselves for that shift. I want to read a quote by Dr. Stephen R. Covey. The material and arrangements has solely evolved and has imbued those who have been sincerely and deeply immersed in it with the conviction of the seven habits presented a holistic, integrated approach to personal and interpersonal effectiveness. And that more than in the individual habits themselves, the real key lies in the relationship among them, in how they are sequenced. So I'm reading that to say everything that we encounter in life, you heard Dr. Murphy spoke about, she's not empowering anyone. We agree that empowerment is an inside job, and so is motivation. So we as a people must understand about the things that we are getting involved in and how it can change our lives. You know, you have always heard that it takes 21 days to develop a habit. And we in our lives at certain times need to adopt new habits. We need to look on the ones we already developed and find out how we can form new habits that will get us to where we need to be. And that is part of the reinvention process. A habit is defined as the intersection of knowledge, skill, and desire. Knowledge is understanding what to do and why to do it. Skill is knowing how to do it. Desire is the motivation and wanting to do it. To make habits, we need to develop certain components. And the top three components that we need to develop to form a habit, the first one I want to touch on is knowledge. It is never too late to go out and acquire the knowledge that we need. What do we need to learn? What additional information or knowledge do we need? Why do we need it? And the next step is, where do we find it? Because it is out there. But unless we know where to go and find it, then we keep on chasing our shadows and not able to identify anything. The next thing we want to look at is our skills and our skill sets. How do we do things? Do we have a certain pattern? Do we feel that certain things have to be done certain ways? You heard Dr. Murphy spoke about emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence helps us to understand about ourselves and point us into certain direction and help us to know certain specific things about who we are and how we do things. The next thing is our desire. What do we want? How badly do we want it? Do we want it so much that it wakes us up at night when we think about it? Do we feel our heart pounding? Is our adrenaline pumping? We got to want it. We got to feel it. I know that I just enjoy what I do so much. And, you know, you wake me up in the middle of the night, I'll be excited about it. Everything that I do in life, I do it with every fiber of my being. I remember, I can recall years ago when I did Mary Kay Cosmetics. I started out as a consultant, and I quickly rise to the rank of senior director. And I tell you, what got me moving so much is the cars. You know, we started off with red car and end up with pink cars and all of that. When I went into that place and found out that I could get a car without paying a dime, I knew that there are certain habits I had to develop. And I began, and I set out, one of the things I said to, I remember the director was Yvonne Stibel out in Westbury, New York. And I said to, I asked Yvonne how many of her consultants already won the car. And she said, none. And I said to her, I will be the first. Tell me what to do. So she laid out for me what habits I had to develop and the things I needed to do. And I quickly, in a short time, I won my red Pontiac Grand Am. I tell you, I can remember dressing up in my green jacket, going down to my green linen jacket, going down to Brooklyn, I think on Nostrand Avenue, to pick up one of my consultant friends, drove me down there Miss Vincent, she drove me down to pick up that car. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who have purchased a new car in the past, you understand that feeling. When you sit around the steering and you can just smell the leather, the aroma of leather, you smell it, and all of a sudden you just rise and elevate yourself to a pinnacle of success that you couldn't imagine. So, each and every one of us, I share that with you not to bore you, but to help you to understand that once you have the knowledge, the skill set, and the desire, and you keep all of those things intact, and you keep working at them, working and working at working, you will develop the habit of a successful person. Once you have those habits developed, then you are going to be ready to create that wealth that nobody can stop you to develop. Each and every one of us have different personalities, and our personalities can affect the way we do our business. And there are times when we need to modify our personality. I'm not saying change it, but we got to modify it and be adaptable to the people we are working with in certain space at certain times. So I'm sharing this to tell you it is so important to know yourself, know who you are, what triggers what in you, what are your strengths, what advantages do you get from certain personality traits. Know them and know how they impact each other people as well. May it be in a negative way or in a positive way. All of us in life needs to be adaptable. What's your character like? Can people depend on you? Ask yourself the question, you know, what's my character like? When people think about me, what are their thoughts? Many people do not take the time to assess themselves. And we all go to professionals, we go to counselors, we go to coaches, we go to therapists, we go to with our mentors and everything. However, until we begin to self-examine ourselves, we are not going to be in a position to be receptive of what those that guide us will tell us. The relationship between character and personality can be illustrated with, for example, an iceberg. The tip of the iceberg can be considered as the personality. It's what we see first. When I walk out there, if I'm a charmer, if I'm an introvert, whatever I am, when I step out there, when you step out there first, the first thing people are going to see is your personality. Although image techniques and skills can be influenced by outward success, the weight of real effectiveness lies in a good character. You know, bad news goes around just like raindrops. So we need to keep in sync and make sure what's going out there about us is what we want to be out there. You know, especially now with the influx of social media and everything that's going on out there. And trust me, not everything you see out there is going to be accurate, because There are a lot of haters and grudges that are out there. But so long as you know within your hearts of hearts that you are doing what's right, God is going to protect you and shield you from all the haters that are out there. When, as we seek to reinvent, release, redesign ourselves, modify what we're doing, we also need to look at certain levels of leadership. Because it doesn't matter whether you're an entrepreneur, small business person, corporate leader, whatever arena you are in, you are a leader. People are looking at you. People are watching you. You don't need to be a corporate executive. You don't have to be a politician, a teacher, all the other people that society look on as leaders. Each and every one of us are leaders in our own way. And every morning or every evening, as you put your hand on the lock of your door to open it to go outside, you must continue to think, I am a leader. And when I go outside, there are people who are watching me. As you look on the areas of leadership as an individual, I know in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey spoke about applying four levels of leadership. The four levels he covered are personal, interpersonal, managerial, and organizational. And I know as you and I listen to those levels, we can see how they apply to our everyday lives. As you work from the inside out, building your personal trustworthiness, you create trust and an interpersonal level and improve a relationship. As trust is built, you can confidently empower others and groups within the organization to produce desired results, he says. With empowered individuals, the organization can align its systems and structure better with the corporate mission and with strategy to meet stakeholders' needs. Alignment then contributes to greater empowerment and higher trust. We as entrepreneurs, we hear every day that people do business with people they love and trust. And for those of us who might not be involved in a corporate setting, we must know that our society is still watching us. So, personal and interpersonal leadership grows out of trustworthiness. To lead others effectively, individuals must first be able to lead themselves effectively. As individuals demonstrate trustworthiness, a balance of high competence and strong character, other people will begin to trust them as leaders. Interpersonal relationship is built on trust. Trust, which builds strong relationship, flows from trustworthy people. You know, they say, do as I say, not as I do. But in this case, the eyes are on you and they are going to be doing both. So make sure that whatever you're doing and whatever you're saying are the same thing, or else it's going to come back to haunt you. Character, a person with high character exhibits integrity, maturity, and an abundance mentally. Competence, a person with high competence has knowledge and ability to a given area. To be truly effective in any area, a person must have a balance of high character and high competence. As people balance these two elements, they build their personal trustworthiness and their trust with others. So it's really not rocket science, ladies and gentlemen. It is just habits that we practice and keep in place. Trustworthiness arises from character and competence. So if you look on the, let's say you are looking at the rung of a ladder. If you would look on the last rung at the bottom, you could label those two as character and competence. And as you climb up those ladder, I think what they have, 8 rungs or something, halfway up, maybe on rung, the 4th rung, you could label that one as trustworthiness. And you continue to rise up and between 7 and you're holding on to 8 would where you could look at your trust. If you are just joining me, you can call in if you have an insight or input into redesigning yourself. Just call in and share what your experiences are. It is very important for us to understand when we get into a funk, if you may, we ought to know what gets us there and what we can do to change that. I know that it's important not to think that you arrive, because none of us ever arrive. So long as we are serving others, we must continue to build on that which we have. Because that's one of the ways, too, that sometimes we lose customers or clients, because we are not looking to give something fresh and something new. So change is necessary at all times. The results we achieve are affected by several key elements, specifically. So we need to create models as we look at the work we do, and in the light of, you know, the principles, we can change results as we pursue for greater achievement. Let's look on a wheel, a circular wheel. And we can see in the wheel, it's a circle, it's going around. We can see things, we can do things, and we get things. We see the paradigm, we see our clients, our customers. For those in corporation, we probably see the stakeholders. we do things to be progressive. We do things to be acknowledged. We do things to add value. When we do those things, we get results. How are the results impacting others? So as we look on the see, do, get, we can very well categorize this as our principles, our core principles. And each of us will develop our own core principles, especially when we are doing this for a long time. So long as we are consistent and so long as we are paying attention. We see, we do, and we get, and we understand if we can combine these three things together, this can very well be labeled as our core principle. And each and every one of us needs to know what our core principles are. Principles upon which the habit is based is important. Paradigms, are they aligned with our principles? Processes are thoughts and behaviors that affect the result we achieve. These are self-assessed questions that we need to ask. Because even for those of us who work with coaches and we have some of the most prominent mentors, there are still a lot of things they don't really know about us. And certain questions must be answered by us, that only we have the question. The answer to, excuse me. Principles are universal laws, are fundamental truth. We know that so long as we are true to the universe is true to us. There's nothing we can do to mess that up. So there are certain universal laws. Give and it shall be given back to you. Treat people like you want to be treated. There are just certain universal laws that you can't do anything to mess up or to change. There are certain universal laws. They are timeless. They produce universal laws. They produce predictable outcomes. That means you do Y, you get Y. There's nothing you can do so long as you do what it tells you to do. You are going to get the right outcome. External to ourselves, look and to see what outside forces is impacting who we are. Operate with or without our understanding or acceptance. That's the universal laws. We don't have to do that. We don't have to be good. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that. We don't have to give anything. We don't have to bring a gift to it. It is going to give us the fundamental truth. Self-evident and enabling when understood. That's the result of universal laws. What are our values? The worth or priority we place on people, things, ideas, and principles. Each and every one of us in this life has our own values and morals. There are some that we developed in our early childhood, and as we evolve in this world and in society, we acquire some from society and from environment, and some too out of relationship. But it doesn't matter where we acquire them from. If we are now embracing them to be ours, then we need to embrace those values and make sure we know what they are. Know what we are, know who we are, know what we believe in. Values are also categorized as self-chosen beliefs or ideals, meaning it's something that we adopt and said, I like this. I like what this does to me as a person. I want to embrace it to be part of my life or part of my message. Values are internal, subjective, based on how we see the world. Values are influenced by upbringing, as I said before, society and personal reflection. Now, I want to encourage you to, at the end of this show, I want you to get your journal. I want you to jot down what are your personal values. Write it there. And while you're there, write what your morals are. An example for that could be honesty, integrity, whatever it is for you, just jot them down, because I can assure you it will be beneficial to you. We are not in control. Principles control. We control our actions, but the sequences that flow from these actions are controlled by principles. Paradigms, the way an individual perceives, understands, and interprets the surrounding world, and a mental map. You know, I was in a conversation with a colleague of mine the other day, and he was sharing with me that he has now have a 360-degree paradigm shift in the way he is doing things. He has such a passion and a burning desire to build wealth from the bottom up. And he seems to be attracting all these heavy load, people who are looking for quick fixes and don't believe in getting a system in place to get the right result. And as leaders, we must, and I'm saying must, pay attention to the people we attract to us, whether as a mentee, as a client, or even as an associate. We must pay attention, because there are a lot of times when we can attract the wrong people, which will, if you are looking to build a positive movement, that can hinder you from moving ahead swiftly, because it becomes like a concrete brick. If you're trying to move ahead and the concrete brick is harnessed to your legs, it's going to be so heavy. It's like you're dragging. It's like an anchor. You know, like how when they pull a boat in or a ship or something, they anchor it so that the waves of the water will not move it. And this is what these things will do to you. It will anchor you, but in a negative way. I want to share that individuals are products of learning and experience. And no two individuals share the same knowledge based on the same set of experiences. Consequently, no two persons share the same paradigm. It doesn't matter if you and I are twins. It doesn't matter if we live in the same family. It doesn't matter whether we have the same ancestral line. None of that matters. We are unique in our own ways, and we will not, under any circumstances, share the same paradigm. Paradigm shifts is if we want significant changes, first we must change our paradigm, like I told you, my friend says. The structure of scientific resolution made a point that most every significant breakthrough in science is first a break with tradition, old ways of thinking, or an old paradigm. And that's a quote from Thomas Kuhn, and he is the author of The Structure of Scientific Resolution. Our personal paradigm shift. I want to encourage you to think of a time or an event in your life in which you experience a paradigm shift, or you may very well go ahead and call it an aha moment, because indeed it is. You know, what could it be? It could be for some people when they got into a intimate relationship. You know, were you able to travel overseas and spend a certain amount of time in a different living among different cultures? Was it when you graduate college? You know, what was it? Was it when you got your biggest paycheck and you look at it all of a sudden and you say, whoa, this is $25,000. Now I know I can go for $45,000. So all of a sudden, you adopt a paradigm shift. Your personal paradigm shift has changed. It's like a thermometer and it just rises and shoots up. You know, the red mercury just rises and shoots up. The other question I want for you to ask yourself, what did you learn about your personal paradigm shift? What did it do for you? What insight did you get out of it? The next question I have for you, how did the paradigm shift affect your life? And take into consideration the lives of your spouse or your family members or co-workers, you know, all those people around you. Did they begin to look at you differently, to act differently? How? Just jot that down for yourself. Next question. What conditions contributed to the paradigm shift? I know for some people, they got to be digging deep, deep, deep down to find out where these answers are. If you want small changes, work on your behavior. If you want quantum leap, work on your paradigms. Isn't that the truth? Let's look at social mirror. The social mirror is a metaphor Dr. Covey used for the way we see ourselves, because others reflect their perception, opinions, and paradigms about us through their words and behaviors. From the social mirror, we form images and judgments of ourselves. I'm not a creative person, or I'm not good with certain things. Because the social mirror is a reflection of our memories of how others see us, it is often inaccurate and limited. Our real potential, on the other hand, can best be drawn from an imagination, while memories constrain, imagination is limitless. You know, you remember in the 70s and 80s, there was so much focus on affirmation, daily affirmation, and all of that. And this is similar to what we're talking about. You know, I remember, especially again when I was doing Mary Kay Cosmetics, I used to do 3x5 cards that I would give to my unit members with different affirmations and encourage them to start their own as well. Self-fulfilling prophecy. Now this means, if you say something, not if, but when you say something about yourself that is not true, if you keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it, you're going to wake up one morning and you are going to be it. So be cautious of the words that you use in describing who you are. Our paradigms are perceptions of people influence the way we treat them. For instance, if we think someone isn't capable, we may be overly helpful and protective. Fearing his or her failure, we may deny that person opportunities we might freely provide to people who we perceive as capable. If we perceive someone as intelligent, we may challenge to affirm him or her. The way we treat others influences their behavior and performance. This self-fulfilling prophecy that we believe about ourselves and others influences our self-perception, behavior, and performance. Isn't that the truth? And this is such a great, gentle reminder so we can be aware of the things we say about ourselves, our children, our spouses and coworkers. You know, there are times when you'll hear mothers who are angry would say to their sons, "You're just like your father," in a negative connotation. And whenever I am blessed to hear that, I always call in a cancel from the universe for that. And I said no. And I would say to the person, "Joy, Dorothy, whatever, this is not what you wanted to say. This is what you intended to say. So now you know what you're intended to say. Would you repeat and say that?" The way we see others is also important. The way we see others is based on our past experiences, whether with them or through somebody similar. You know, we can always think of different paradigms that we are looking on about people. Think of a person whose behavior is one time or another has concerned you. answer the following questions in relation to that person. So now I'm going to be asking you a few questions about the person of your choice. So I want you to think about someone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now you have got the person. You have a visual picture of the person. Here's the first question. What beliefs do you have about this person? And what might limit him or her in the relationship, and that will possibly bring a strain to the relationship? Jot down what comes to your mind quickly. Question number two, how might an incomplete or an inaccurate paradigm of this person influence his or her behavior? I know you're not their therapist, but just in your layperson opinion, what do you think? Next question. Could your paradigm or behavior toward that person be part of their problem? Look at that. A lot of times we never think we are the problem. You know, I was speaking with someone, and I keep telling that person, don't try to fix anybody else. Only focus on fixing you, because you're going to find out that once you fix you, everything else around you becomes so, so beautiful. So I know there are times when couples are struggling and they think that, oh, it's the other person. The other person is not doing this. The other person is not doing that. No, I encourage them to look and see what they are contributing and what they need to focus on. What they say, you got to pick the beam out of your eye before you reach. There's always a plank in your eye. So before you go for the beam in the other person, you should remove the plank out of your eyes. Since it is possible that your paradigm is not accurate, how could you change your beliefs about the action toward this person to more accurate reflect on his or her potential? There's another little question for you. All right? So I hope you will also revisit those questions and look. And for some of you, you probably have more than one person that you want to do the activity around. By all means, just go back over it and choose different people and ask the same questions and do the assessment. Progress. You know, we all want progress in the things that we do. Some of us more than others. What does progress look like for you? You know, each of us, we get into the system, we get into a pattern of things that we are doing. And for example, for those people who might be doing a home study course, you know, we get to section of the workbook that explains the principles and the paradigms associated with the respective program. And sometimes we look at it and say it doesn't apply to us and we want to skip it over. But I encourage you, every aspect of whatever is laid out is perfectly perfectly laid out and it applies to you. As you go through that work, you're going to find out that the progress you make is becoming easier and easier and easier. Process-related series are routines of mental and physical activities. Effective process contributes to the ultimate behavior or habit we are trying to develop. For example, in the 6-step process in habit 3 of the 7th habit of highly effective people, you will find a third alternative which allows you to be creative, discover solutions, and satisfy all involved partners. But there's no lone rangers there. Processes sometimes include tools that help create and reinforce desired behaviors and habits. The 7 habits journal, for example, is a tool that helps reinforce putting things first. I know it is such a continuous challenge to keep up with all the things that I need to do to make sure I maintain my empowerment and my motivation for the things I do. And I am sure that I'm not unique in that way. I am sure that each and every one of you go through the same thing sometime or another. Remember, you can call 646-915-8166. We have remaining 25 minutes in this episode today. It doesn't matter how developed we are, how successful we are, how wealthy we are, how empowered, enlightened, and transformed we are, change must come at one time or another. Change is a cycle. It keeps going round and round and round. So my advice to you, or my suggestion to you, is not to resist change. The change cycle builds on the basic change model in our lives. Remember, I spoke about see, find, get. And now I'm going to expand on other aspects of the change model that we can utilize in our lives. Our paradigms, how we see things. And remember, each of us, we are seeing it through different lenses. Some have fluorescent lens, some have purple lens, some have green. Everything, we are looking at the same thing, but we are seeing it through different lenses. It's like they say beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And that's the same thing now we are going to be seeing here. Our paradigm, how we see, how we are, we influence the process, we use the behaviors we choose, and what to do with them. In turn, what we do affects the results that we get. these results either meet or fail to the clients or customers. To continuously improve our effectiveness in meeting and exceeding customers' needs and desires of our services. We constantly change our paradigms. That's just how we are as human beings. Our paradigms go through a process. Our process then filters that paradigm into our behaviors. Our behaviors then triggers results, and results is then triggered to our customers and clients, and the circle goes round and round because these clients now triggers it back to our paradigm. So you see the continuous flow of what's going on here. And that's why it is so important that we connect and know what it is we need to be focusing on. As we align ourselves with principles, we are more likely to succeed and make predictable and effective choices in changing our environment. You know? And that's why a lot of times we look on maybe foster kids. There are a lot of times they are removed from one environment or from one family, and they are placed somewhere else. And later on, you can attribute their outcome in life based on that move from that community in such and such a time in their life. So each and every one of us can reinvent ourselves and use that reinvention to transform who we are. Principles of effectiveness. Effectiveness is a balance of two things. Production, the desired result to produce something. Only you got to know what that something is. Once you know what it is you are looking to produce, and once you produce it, it maintains perceiving and enhancing the resource that produce and require results. So, you see what I'm saying here? Everything ties into each other and it filters into each other. This is why it is so important that we stay close to the universal laws, because they guide us. They guide us all the way. Production capability is the maintaining and the preserving and enhancing the resource that produces the desired result. So it's like a formula, you know? You have your production, you look at it, what do I want to produce here? All right, I have all these ingredients on here. I want to produce the most delicious moist cake. And you go towards producing that. Now, once you finish with that production, you have to think about your production capability. How did you maintain that? You keep doing it over and over and over and over again. What are you using to make this happen? You are preserving it. You are enhancing it. It's like a legacy. The resource that produced the desired result. You hear over and over when our teachers and leaders tell us, there is no reason. absolutely no reason why you ought to go and reinvent the wheel. This has been done time and time and time again. You do not need to reinvent the wheel. And with the computer and the internet now at our fingertips, this has become more true each and every day. I was speaking with a friend in Jamaica on the phone the other day, and she said to me, "Girl, Google has become my best friend. Everything I want to know, I type it on Google, and I ask, and I get the answer." And we oftentimes we tend not to remember that. But whatever we want to know is out there, and 99.77 times it is accurate. So we can go there and get what it is we want. The most important resource available to any organization is the relationship among its people, including internal and external shareholders, stockholders, clients, or customers, or supporters, and in some case, donors. Very, very important. What is your balance? What does your balance look like? What does your productive balance look like? What does your production capability balance look like? And here are some questions you can ask yourself to get the correct answer. What results are you responsible for on your job? Next question. How do the following resources help you produce a desired result? Look at it from a physical perspective, financial standpoint, human benefits, and technological commitment. Remember, there are no wrong or right ways to answer this. You need to do a search, a soul searching, so you can answer these questions. And you'll probably find that you go back and listen over to the archive show, and on the day you're listening it, you're probably going to be coming up with more insight on the answer. How is your production and production capability balance? How effective is it? How effective is it? Now we have 14 minutes remaining, and I think I'm going to be ending today with a little activity that I'm going to give you here. You need to jot the headings down, and you probably want to roll up a sheet of paper after the end of the show, and you can just take your time and work on this. It is called our emotional bank account. The emotional bank account is a metaphor for the amount of trust and exits in our relationships. It suggests that every interaction with another human being may be classified as a deposit or a withdrawal. Deposits build and repair trust in relationships. Withdrawals lessen trust and relationship. Let me repeat that. It is suggested that every interaction with a human person may be classified as a deposit or a withdrawal. Deposits build and repair trust in relationships. withdrawals lessen trust in relationships. Making deposits and withdrawals. Think of an associate with whom you have regular contact. Then make a box, and you're going to label the box in this manner. Withdrawal can be one column. Neutral is on another column. Deposits on another column. And here is what I want you to put in the other column out here. Look at the relationship with one specific person now. The person took you to lunch at a fast food restaurant so you could talk about how work is going. Is that a deposit, a neutral, or a withdrawal? The next. The person asked you to attend a business meeting in his or her place while he or she took the afternoon off. Is that a withdrawal, a neutral, or a deposit? The person gave you a late birthday card. Is that a withdrawal, neutral, or a deposit? The person noticed you were having problems on working assignments and pointed out what you were doing wrong. Is that a deposit, a neutral, or a withdrawal? The person gave you tickets to the opera because he or she noticed you had been working late for the past 3 weeks straight. Again, is that a withdrawal, a neutral, or a deposit? The person's kindness and courtesy. That is considered a deposit or a withdrawal. The person keeps his promise. Is that a deposit or a withdrawal? The person honoring their expectations. Is that a deposit or a withdrawal? The person is loyal to the absence. Loyalty to the absence. Is that deposit or withdrawal? The person makes an apology. Is that a deposit or a withdrawal? On kindness and discourtesy. Is that a neutral or a withdrawal or a deposit? People who break promises, is that a withdrawal, a deposit, or a neutral? People violating expectations, what category? Deposit, withdrawal, or neutral? Disloyalty and duplicity, what category does that fall under? Pride, conceit, and arrogance. Is that deposit, withdrawal, or neutral? Well, I hope this has helped you to figure that out and to help you to really build and enhance on your relationship. You can't talk your way out of a problem. You behave yourself into. That's a quote from Dr. Stephen Covey. You can't talk your way out of a problem, you behave yourself into. That is a powerful, powerful thought. And I honor you, I thank you for joining me here in this episode. Remember the event on April the 6th down in Pennsylvania. And the number for the hotel is 215-646-4637. The date is April the 6th, and the cost is $147 or $224, and you can bring your friend. It doesn't get any better than that, because we ladies, everywhere we go, we like to bring a sidekick with us. Dr. Murphy said they're going to talk about spiritual design, leadership, emotional intelligence, and destiny design. She's having somebody to talk about staying out of debt, and somebody's kind of medical doctors coming there to tell us how to remain healthy. So again, I honor you. I thank you. I look forward to seeing you Sunday night. And I know next week I'll have word on my book going live on Amazon. And I'm looking for your support on there. I'm also looking for you to go to GoFundMe. GoFundMe. The link is http://www.gofundme.com. Building-A-Cafeteria. That is my breakfast feeding program in Jamaica. I honor all those people who have contributed, and I thank you. And I want you to know that we are now officially a nonprofit, and all the donation that you give will be tax deductible. So help us make this happen for the children at the Carmen Moravian School Breakfast Feeding Program. Again, it's always an honor to serve you in this format on the Blog Talk Radio platform. Please share this link with authors and help them to redesign, redefine, modify, energize, and transform the life that was given to them, and also the vision that they were called to be. If you are not yet following me on Twitter, I ask that you look me up there. My handle is Twitter at Dynamic Daphne. And for those of you on Facebook, I want you to follow me at facebook.com, Dynamic Daphne. And visit my website, DaphneClarkHudsonEmpowers.com. You're going to get a lot of freebies, and I want you to share that with other people. And for those of you who are listening, I want you to join me at the 16-week channel challenge, and I want you to join my group, The Reinventors. I am looking forward to seeing you there. And remember that each and every one of us, we are created for a destiny. We do not want to allow anyone or anything to stand in the way of that. And if you have a business that you are looking to promote, my team and I, we are getting ready to start a new segment where we are going to help you to promote your business. And for all 86,000 of you, I love you. I appreciate you and I honor you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. I love you and there's nothing you can do about that.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
That came with the slave. I'm mighty grateful.